Blog Talk Radio.
Up, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend. Along with my co-host, Macaulay Matthew, I'm, of course, William Ramo. What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey, man. What's up? How's it going?
I'm good, man. Glad to have you on the show, as always.
Thanks for having me, as usual.
All right, and thank you equally. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to this episode. And on today's show, we're going to talk about the winter meetings approaching in Las Vegas with, the Mets, the new Mets GM, Brody Van Wagenen, and, of course, the longtime Yankees GM, Brian Cashman, are down in Las Vegas, to try to make some moves for their respective clubs. We're going to talk about that and the latest hot stove rumors. We're also going to talk about, the Knicks losing to the Nets. The NFL with the Jets trying to get revenge on the Bills, and the Giants battling their longtime foe, Redskins in Washington. And we'll talk about the stuff that you guys would like to talk about as well. And, of course, to do so, you got to give us a call at 917-388-4189. That's 917-388-4189. So feel free to talk about any of these topics and more, even the Tyson Fury fight versus Dante Wilder fight that happened on last Saturday. We could also talk about that as well. But, let's just lead off with some baseball. And the biggest news in baseball right now is that the Nationals, they put all their monies, I guess they're in Vegas, so they wanted to gamble. And they basically put all their chips, all their money on Patrick Corbin turning into an ace after he had, his best year, this past season. And they gave him a six-year, $140 million contract, which basically all but ends Bryce Harper's tenure with the Washington Nationals. And here's my take. Sure, Patrick Corbin, he had a good year this year. And, he could be on the up, he could have found something similar to Wheeler, finally living up to his potential. But to give him 6 years, $140 million, come on, man. That's just a poor investment, in my opinion. I could be wrong, but he's not worth $140 million. I mean, could he? I mean, he could be one of the rare people like Scherzer. The only pitcher I could think of in recent history that actually lived up to the contract of being an ace, getting paid ace-like money. But, me personally, I wouldn't have made that move. I would have, if I was Nationals, I would have signed Dallas Keuchel cheaper, sign Nathan Eovaldi, which, he re-signed with the Red Sox. Or go after J.A. Happ, which the Yankees are rumored to re-signing. What's your thoughts on the state of the Nationals, signing Corbin, and, of course, which as of right now looks like that's going to be the end of Bryce Harper's tenure, according to, I think, the GM or the owner?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's, I wanted to see Patrick Corbin in the Yankee uniform, but, he took the bigger contract. The Nationals were willing to go all out to sign him for that big deal of $140 million. I mean, I don't think he's worth $140 million, but I think he's a good pitcher. I think, he's going to be one of the best pitchers in baseball next year. And now, is he an ace? I'm not sure, because the Nationals are paying him like he's an ace. I'd say he's more of a number two, number three guy. You know, I don't know if he's a ace yet, but well, he's gonna have to prove it next year. But yeah, I mean, this contract pretty much, you know, it pretty much says that Harper isn't gonna come back to the Nationals, maybe. But it's still, you know, it's not a for sure thing because you never know. You know, I could see him probably coming back, although the chances are very slim right now. But there's always a possibility that he returns to the Nationals. If not, then, you know, Phillies are still in play, Braves are still in play, maybe Yankees. But, you know, right now it's he could go anywhere right now. So who knows?
Yeah, I think the better bet of him going would be to would be him going to Phillies or Yankees. I don't see him coming back. And apparently the Nationals owner, Mark Lerner, you know, agrees with me, because this is what he said on 106.7 The Fan FM in Washington. He said, "Well, when we met with him and we gave him the offer, we told him this is the best we can do. We went right to the finish line very quickly, and we said, if this is of any interest to you, please come back to us, and we'll see whether we can finish it up. But we just couldn't afford to put more than that in, and to be able to put a team together that had a chance to win the NL East or go farther than that." So he said, if he comes back, it's a strong possibility. It's a strong possibility that we won't be able to make it work. But I really don't expect him to come back at this point. I think we decided to move on. So that's the take from the owner, Mark Lerner of the Washington Nationals. To your point, I agree with you. He's going to be a number three starter, you know, getting paid ace money. But luckily for him, you know, he's going to be in a strong rotation, which has, you know, the aforementioned Max Scherzer and Strasburg, heading that workhorse, you know, of a staff, you know, obviously if Strasburg could stay healthy, that's his only bugaboo. But, you know, you got two aces at the top, and then you have Corbin being, you know, at number three. So the pressure is going to be off him, you know, for the most part, you know, being the number three starter. I mean, obviously, being in the first year of this big contract, he's going to feel a little pressure to try to live up to it. But, you know, fortunately for him, he's not going to a team that has a horrible rotation and he has to shoulder all the load, you know. So I think he's going to have, like you said, I think he's going to have a big year, you know, in Washington. But as of right now, I don't think he's worth the money. I think they overpaid.
Yeah, I mean, we'll have to see how he performs. You know, he's going to have to live up to his contract now. You know, he's pretty much going to have to, you know, pitch like he's their ace. Even though the Nationals already have an ace, you know, so. But, you know, it does help the pitching staff a bit, you know, so it does make the Nationals a contender next year. But, you know, if they can't re-sign Harper, they're going to lose, you know, some hitting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Losing Harper is going to be a huge hit, especially if he goes to the Phillies. You know,
yeah,
he's gonna have to see them play against him like 19 games a year. You know, that's gonna be tough.
Yeah, it is.
The only thing that could be worse of Bryce Harper going to the Phillies would be him going to the Mets. You know,
yeah.
But obviously, that's a scenario. That's an unlikely scenario. Even Brody Van Wagenen said that. Unless if they could create, create a opportunity, to have payroll flexibility. They're most likely won't be able to pursue him or a Machado type player. But so most likely Mets are gonna be going after AJ Pollock, who's a right-handed batter from the D-backs. I mean, the guy, he has potential, but he's always hurt. You know, he plays, pretty good defensively at center field, but he's always hurt. I mean, he hit, I think, 21 home runs, which is a career high for him. But, he could never stay on the field. Me personally, I would rather them go after, other than Harper, I'd rather see them go after a guy who has, who has a potential to have a good year or a bounce back year. Like, let's say, McCutcheon. That's a guy they were rumored to go after all these years, before the Giants acquired him. And then, of course, Giants traded him to the Yankees at the trading deadline this past year. I haven't heard Mets and him linked at all yet. So I think that would be a good move to make. Or Adam Jones. I mean, Adam Jones, he's a very good player. I think I still think he has some left in the tank for the Mets to go after, or even to me this could be even an interesting pick too, going after Billy Hamilton, sign him to a spring training invite, because if that guy could be a consistent hitter, he could be a beast at, in the leadoff spot. This guy has stole 50 bases a few, several years ago, several times. But this past year, he only stole 34, which still would have been, great with the Mets, this day and age, or any team.
Yeah.
So that could be a spring training invite, or maybe, move to make on the cheap. If Mets don't overpay to get a guy like that. But I haven't heard rumors with him really connected to the Mets either. And then, of course, there's also, veteran guys on the final leg of their years, like Granderson, which I think is the end for him, or even Hunter Pence. But I think he only plays the right field, so that wouldn't be a natural fit. So maybe him on a spring training deal, playing right or whatever, or a hitter off the bench could be out of the box kind of deal for the Mets. But Mets need to improve that. The offense, they need a power righty bat. They're very lefty, or they're very left handed heavy, but if you could get a guy who could hit, that's all that, and plays great defense, at least just good defense, that's a guy they need. And then on the catcher side, they're going after Real Muto, but they're gonna have to give up Rosario, maybe Conforto or Nimmo, and that's way too much. That's way too much, man. As much as I'd love to see JT Realmuto, man. I mean, he would give them a two-way catcher they haven't had since Gary Carter, in the 80s. Obviously, Mets haven't had an offensive catcher like that since Piazza or in a small sampling for a few years, Paul LaDuca. But it would be, it would be great for them to have, a catcher who could hit and plays great behind the plate. Because that's very important, especially for a young pitching staff that the Mets have. They need that leadership, just like the 80s Mets teams needed Gary Carter to mentor them to get to that next level that they needed to get to, to get that ring in 86.
Yeah, JT Realmuto, he's a, that's a guy that would be a great fit for the Mets, but Yeah, I mean, the Mets are going to have to give up a lot for him, you know, and
yeah,
I don't think it's worth giving all those pieces for one guy. So,
yeah,
yeah, Mets might just have to – I mean, if Mets could, you know, have some other prospects to trade, you know, to get him, that'd be great. And that way
yeah.
they could keep Conforto and some of the other guys. But, you know, we'll see if that deal happens. Right now, you know, there's – a lot of rumors that, you know, it looks like the Mets are the front runner to trade for him.
Yeah, but they're going to have to. To me, I mean, I wouldn't want to give up any of those guys, but to me, out of all those, the three, to me, Conforto is untradeable.
Yeah.
He's untouchable, man. You cannot trade Conforto. I mean, Nimmo, I wouldn't want to trade him either. I mean, I wouldn't want to trade Rosario too, but I mean, you got to give up something to get something. But to me, there's no way you give up Conforto. Conforto is that's a guy who has a lot of potential. I mean, this guy has I think last year he hit 20 home runs. A few years ago he hit 27. So I mean, this guy he's a 30 you know, he's a 30 threat, 30 home run threat. You don't give up a guy like that, and he has that work ethic. I mean, you know, Nimmo could grow into a 20 home run type of guy too, you know. But you know, and plus they both have that work ethic, you know, that, you know, basically that blue collar Met blueprint that those guys have. You can't give up on guys like that. And then Rosario, towards the end of the year, he started to live up to his potential, hitting for more triples. And I mean, who knows? Him playing with Cano could have a great effect on him.
Yeah.
But shifting gears to the Yankees, do you know who was Bryce Harper's idol growing up as a Yankee fan?
Derek Jeter.
I would assume he loved.
Actually, not Derek Jeter. Mattingly.
He could love him as well, but that's not from what I heard.
Let me get one final guess here. Let me see. I'll say Paul O'Neill.
Nope.
Really?
I'm not saying he couldn't love all those guys, but apparently his favorite Met, I mean, rather, favorite Yankee growing up is the new current Met, Robinson Cano. Don't you know?
Oh, wow. Really? Wow.
So apparently Cano is his favorite player. So that's why some people are thinking, hey, maybe this could lead to him going to the Mets. If Mets could give him a deal that's comparable to what he's looking for. But then again, he reportedly turned down a 10-year, $300 million contract with the Nationals. And as we all know, Mets, it would be a miracle if Mets gave half that money.
Yeah, that's insane money right there.
So, yeah, I don't think there's a scenario there would be probably very few scenarios that I would turn down a 10-year, a $300 million contract.
Yeah,
I can't think of one, but I'm sure there'd have to be a scenario or two that would make me not sign it.
I mean, right, for that contract, I mean, there's only a few teams that can even offer him that type of a better deal. Dodgers, since they have the highest payroll. Maybe Cubs. Well,
Dodgers.
Yankees, I don't think Yankees would offer him that type of contract, or close. You know, Yankees are not spending as they were in the past, and, you know, you've seen how conservative they were in the Corbin – with the Corbin negotiation. So right now, you know, the Phillies have money to spend. So I'm thinking maybe Phillies, Dodgers, you know.
Yeah, I think it's Yankees, Phillies, Dodgers. In that, well, I'm kind of Yankees and Phillies. I give them equal footing because Phillies are definitely in on them. There's no doubt about that. And then again, with the Yankees, you never count the Yankees out. If the Yankees sneeze and they like, you know what, I think we have about $300 million to spend, you know. Why don't we just go after Harper?
That's a lot
okay,
of money,
let's
though.
Do it. They'll just do it. And then after they're like, Brian Cashman could be sitting down, you know, drinking a pina colada, you know, at the winter meetings, and he's like, hey, you know what? I'm bored. Let's give Manny Machado a 11-year, $400 million contract. Let's do it. And they'll
see Yankees signing. I think right now it looks like the Yankees are leaning more towards Machado, since they have a bunch of outfielders right now. So getting Harper wouldn't make sense either. You know, since
yeah, it wouldn't.
Is clogged up, but Machado would make sense because Didi's going to be out this season, and you know, with Machado, you know, he's not going to get the money that Harper's getting, but you know, Yankees probably would spend, you know, probably spend money to get him. So it looks like you know, Yankees are in the play for Machado again. Sounding like
absolutely, and then plus there's rumors Yankees are, you know, they're rumored to be going after you know, Kluber and Bauer from the Indians. So, you know, Yankees have that ability to just, you know, fix their problems like that with a snap of a finger. So, wouldn't be surprised if they end up with any of these guys.
I also hear Cubs are a strong contender right now. Also, they've got Schwarber in a deal with some prospects, so they're in discussion with Cleveland right now. So that. Yeah, so that, you know, a lot of teams right now after Kluber. I mean, I would love him to come to the Yankees, you know.
Yeah, I would rather Kluber than Bauer.
Yeah. Well, Bauer, you know, he had a good year last year, you know.
Yeah, he did.
Best year last year. I mean, I definitely want Kluber because, you know, he's been consistent, more consistent than Bauer. But
I'm shocked that there's not that much talk about Dallas Keuchel signing anywhere, because I thought, and it still could come through true, but I thought as soon as he came, you know, free agency started, him and Yankees, you know, would have been like hot and heavy, you know, with the trade rumors, with the free agency signing, especially how he had their number, you know, in the postseason, you know.
Yeah.
I thought that would have been a perfect thing, and especially with the Red Sox too, because you know Red Sox love to get Yankee killers, you know. So I thought the rumors would have been hot and heavy with both those teams after him.
Well, I mean, the last 2 out of 3 years, you know, Keuchel has been, you know, he's been up and down a bit, you know.
Yeah.
The 12-11 record last year over 3.7 ERA. Year before that, he was good 14-5 with 2.9. Year before that is 9-12 of 4.5. So he's been up and down a bit, and you know, a lot of teams probably don't feel like he's a true ace. Maybe.
I guess so. Even though he's, you know, he's a bulldog, and you know, in the postseason he pitches really well. I guess maybe that's, you know, I guess they feel like he's maybe turning for the worse, kind of like how people, you know, they're trying to trade for Bumgarner. You know, Bumgarner's a phenomenal postseason pitcher, and obviously he's a good regular season pitcher. But, you know, those are two guys you got to keep your eye out for, you know, for teams to try to acquire. But, yeah, he did take a hit, you know, he did take a hit ERA-wise this year, and maybe that's why teams are like you mentioned, teams are getting a little leery of him. But
yeah,
he definitely should be making more money than Corbin. Corbin should not be making that money.
Yeah, that's a big contract.
Congratulations to him if he could get that money. You know, that's on him. But shifting gears, yeah, let's talk about the Jets and yeah, man, Jets have been losing a lot of games, and basically they're going to try to get revenge from early this year against the Buffalo Bills, and it's going to be a matchup between two rookie quarterbacks in Darnold, who's supposed to make his return after missing the past, three games, and then he's going to be battling Josh Allen And I'm thinking that you know, the Jets are gonna get the revenge on the road. You know, snap this losing streak. What about you?
Well, I mean, Josh Allen has been playing very good, you know, since he's since they put him in the starting lineup. You know, I think he had like 2 touchdowns. He did throw 2 interceptions. The week before that, he had a touchdown. But the thing is, he's a good running quarterback. So he's not a guy that stays in the pocket. He'll like, you know, run out and get some rushing yards. So he could be dangerous.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Bills have made a lot of, you know, they let go Kelvin Benjamin and someone else. I forget the name, but they have some young wide receivers right now. So right now they're a hungry team. And they're still in the – I think right now they're still in the postseason hunt, aren't they? Aren't they, like, close to 500, I think, or
yeah,
something like that?
Yeah, I forgot that number.
4-8. Well, actually, they're about 4 games on the 500, but you know, they're two games behind the Dolphins, I think. Still make a run here and probably, you know, fight for that last spot, the last wild card spot in the AFC.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough task for the Jets because, you know, he's been young and hungry. He's a two-way player. He could run. And, you know, obviously he got that throwing ability. So, yeah, it's going to be a tough task for the Jets. But I think Jets are going to – it's going to be a close game, but I think Jets will pull it out in the end.
Yeah, it's going to be close. I mean, Jets have been – man, I can't remember the last time they just won a game. They've lost like 6 in a row, I think.
I can't even remember either. I've not been watching the games. I can't remember either.
it's
like they're all a blur. They're all a blur, man. They just keep losing.
Yeah, it's been.
So I can't even remember. I can't even remember either. But
so Darnold will be starting tomorrow.
Yeah, he's gonna start against his rookie class quarterback Josh Allen.
Yeah, so that should be a good matchup.
Good matchup, you know. Hopefully, you know, they'll have many, many years of battling out with each other.
Yeah.
For ALE's well, I can't say supremacy because Tom Brady is always going to be there. Seemingly,
yeah.
So they'll be battling out for the AFC East. They'll be battling for one of the wild card spots in the AFC. But, yeah, we'll see what happens. Should be a good game. But shifting gears, the Giants are going to be on the road in Washington against their rival Redskins, and they're going to be facing a familiar face, Mark Sanchez, formerly known as the Sanchez. And you know he's getting the start because, you know, the Redskins quarterback, you know, been injured. So basically Mark Sanchez has a chance to resuscitate his career, and he's going to be battling, you know, the Giants, as you know, the Giants are trying to fight for respectability, you know, after losing recently. So we're going to see what happens because they were going on a run. They were winning some games, and then they got a loss to end their momentum. But, you know, the Giants are trying to, you know, play for respectability.
Yeah, well, right now they've been playing well, you know, these last several weeks. So they've won 3 out of the last 4, with that loss being – one loss being to the Eagles. But last week, yeah,
yep.
they defeated the Bears in that wild game. You know, yeah, they blew that game to the Eagles, so they could have won that, you know. So, yeah,
and
they've been playing –
came back and won against the Bears.
Yeah, last week they won against the Bears, you know, in OT in that wild game. So they've been playing real well, you know. Offensive line's been playing well. Defense has been stepping up at times. The only thing that tomorrow they're not going to have Odell. Looks like he has a bruised quad, he has a quad injury, so he's going to be out. So you're going to need some of these other guys like Sterling Shepard and Saquon Barkley to step up, you know, in his absence. So hopefully they continue this playing well. And who knows? They could probably still make the playoffs if they win out. You know, they're 4-8, could win four more games, finish 8-8, maybe go to the playoffs as a wild card. Hey, crazy things have happened.
I doubt it, but I mean, they haven't been eliminated yet.
You know, it's a possibility. I remember back in 99, they were 4-8. They ended up winning the next four games to finish 8-8, but they still missed the playoffs by, I think, by a game or two games or something like that. So, you know, it could happen. It could very well happen. You know, if they keep on playing well like this, you know, who knows? But it might be too little too late.
Yeah, they're going to definitely need to rely on Sanchez, you know, having a throwback game and having, you know, the offense firing on all cylinders to get them that victory right there tomorrow.
The Redskins, their quarterback situation is a mess. They had the main quarterback, I forget his name again, from Kansas City. Alex Smith, he's out for the season, injured. Then Colt McCoy gets injured, you know, last week, and bring up Mark Sanchez. Then you'll probably see Mark Sanchez get injured by a Giant, and he's out
with a butt fumble. Yeah, man, he's definitely going to lean on Adrian Peterson, you know, get some rushes.
Yeah.
You know.
I think the Giants are, I think they pull one out here in Washington. I think it's going to be a close game, but I think the Giants are going to find a way to win this one. Lean on Barkley.
I think so. And, And then whatchamacallit, I guess the Knicks, they got their kicks by the Nets. This is like the second time they lost to the Nets this season.
Yeah.
To my memory.
When they're home floor.
Yeah, I know. This time it's at home. You know, Kander, he had a good game. You know, he had 23 points, 14 rebounds. And, you know, he was efficient on the floor, you know, making 10 of his 13 shots. Milikina, he finally played, you know. He's been missing the past couple of games, which caused a controversy and trade rumors swirling with him. You know, he had 7 points, had only 3 assists, but he was 3 of 6 from the field. And then Trier had 15 points and – yeah, basically, the Knicks got their butt kicked, especially by Spencer Dinwiddie and Rondae Hollins-Jefferson. They both scored 25 points and 20 points, respectively. The Knicks are going to have to turn it around, man. I mean, obviously, you know, they're not going to make a postseason run, but getting their butt kicked by a team that now is on a 2-game winning streak because the Nets won a game last night to snap their 8-game losing streak. So now they're on a 2-game winning streak, and Knicks are going to have to turn it around.
Yeah, man. This team can't play defense if their life depended on it. I mean, it's the same old story, you know?
Absolutely.
These young guys, you know, I like that they, you know, they play up and down the court. They're athletic, and they're playing with a lot of energy. But on the defensive side of the ball, you know, they can't guard anybody sometimes. And they're being down like 15 to 20 points and then have to like come back in the fourth quarter. Like, it's getting tiring to see.
Yep. They've been having this problem for the past, almost 20 years, with the exception of 2013. I mean, yeah, 2013. That Jason Kidd, Tyson Chandler team they had with, you know, Marbury and not Marbury, Carmelo and Stoudemire.
Right.
And then that's the same old story. Knicks play to the level of their opponents. Horrible team, they play horrible. Good teams, they go down a huge, and then they try to come back, and then they lose with another moral victory.
Mhm. Yeah. Same old story.
But yeah, Knicks got to turn it around. No more we could say about that. And lastly, something that needs to be turned around is WWE, man. Like, what is going on with WWE, man? Like, it's like rinse and repeat. The villains keep being up on each other. I mean, they're running out of storylines that basically, Dolph Ziggler, out of nowhere, turns into a babyface again and has beef with Drew McIntyre.
Well, you saw that coming.
Yeah, I mean, we knew that was going to eventually come. But I thought it would have been maybe Drew McIntyre turning face and then turning on him. But that wasn't the case. But we knew they were going to break up eventually.
Yeah. So I thought it would happen a little earlier.
Yeah, I thought so too, especially with the whole Shield dissension thing.
Yeah.
And then, of course, they were feuding with the Shield with Dean Ambrose, who has a whole germophobic gimmick. He has, last week he had to take shots just so he could go to Houston this past Raw, and he debuted a whole new Bane gimmick. You know, he might as well have that whole group, that those masked men, they should be in his, he should have a faction with them, like they should be like made up of people, you know, like from NXT, you know, that basically that are coming up, that have a basically like the what was the team I was thinking of, Nexus, kind of like a Nexus kind of thing with Dean Ambrose, you know, what about, maybe Sanity would have been a good group for him to debut with. They have, well, I mean, actually they already debuted already on SmackDown, but that would have been a good, like, you need a group that's like crazy, you know.
Yeah.
That fits his style. You know, I think that could have made it work. But, yeah, I mean, other than that, Raw has been garbage. I mean, Becky Lynch is basically saving WWE all by herself. You know, she's going to be fighting Asuka and Charlotte at the TLC pay-per-view event, you know, health permitting because of the concussion and, you know, that facial injury she faced, you know, during the whole Survivor Series angle, you know, by Nia Jax, you know, punching her in the face. But, yeah, we're running out of time. So, you know, Mac, I want to thank you for coming on the show. And I want to thank you all, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to Sports of the Legend. I'm William Rameau. He's Macaulay Matthew. And I'll see you guys next week. Peace.